Welcome. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit our website at votacoma.org.
Tonight, I want to read to you one of our promised scriptures found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Verse number 3, one more time. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And tonight, what I want to talk to you, for the next few minutes about fulfilling your full potential. And, you know, all of us have this thing called potential. And potential is what could be. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I want to talk to you about pursuing greatness. You know, that God has called us to be great. And I think that sometimes in life, we have a tendency to settle for our situation based on our circumstance, right? Who's ever been there where you're like, this is just how life is. Things are never going to get better. And we live in a time where a lot of people live like that, and they buy into the lie that, you know what, this is just what my life is like, and I've accepted it. But tonight, I want to come against that thought, and I want to talk to you about pursuing greatness. One of the things that I found is that greatness is not limited to a special type of a person, but greatness is for those who are committed to growth and dedicated to pursuing the will of God for their life. And, you know, following God, you have to understand that there's no limits. There's no limits to what you can accomplish with God. Someone say, no limits. No limits. And this evening, that's what I want to talk to you about. And it's my honest belief that how far we go in the things of God and how much we actually accomplish, or how much of our God-given potential we unravel, is really dependent on one thing: our commitment and willingness to keep growing. If you look throughout the Word of God, the Bible actually says a lot about growth. And I want to read you a few scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 says this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:15 says this: speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Hebrews 6:1 says this: so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. And the only way to become mature is to ensure that we are growing. Hosea 4:6 says this: my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, when you look at all of these scriptures, you will find that they all have a common theme. And that theme is constant progression. It's moving from one place to another. But in order to move from one place to another, you have to commit to this thing called growth. And in order for growth to happen, we have to have a constant progression. And it takes a specific attitude and commitment to pursue the things of God. See, I have found that in order to grow, change must be evident in our lives. Change. And I believe with all my heart that it's God's desire that we continue growing. Just listen to some of the words that were mentioned in those scriptures. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Grow up in every way. Mature in understanding. In other words, we have to constantly grow in our knowledge of who God is. And as we focus and grow and in the knowledge of God, you and I will, by nature, just grow. Because the Spirit of God will be upon us. The Spirit of God will guide us and lead us in life. You know, when you look at the scripture that we opened up with, this is a promise scripture that was given to our ministry. And it says, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your tent curtains wide and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now those words, enlarge, stretch, hold back, strengthen, it speak of a commitment of expansion. Now when you think of the word growth, what comes to mind? Anybody? When you think of growth or someone that's constantly growing, what do you think of? Mature. Body mass. Continuing to gain knowledge. When you think of growth, what else? Diligent. When you think of a person that's grown, and I'm not talking about in size, but when you think of, man, they've grown a lot, what kind of characteristics do you see in a person that's constantly growing? Success. Spirituality. Wisdom. Patience. Character. Self-control. Focus. That's good stuff. Self-discipline. See, the actual definition of the word growth is this. It means to increase, to advance, to mature, and to expand. It speaks of development and escalation, growing from one place to another. And I believe that God does not desire for us to stay the same. People say, well, God said, come as you are, absolutely, but he loves you too much to stay the same. And what we want to be people that are constantly growing in the knowledge of God. As we grow in the knowledge of God, you know what happens? We come to the knowledge of the truth. And when the truth is evident in our lives, we start walking just a little bit different. See, people don't change because they don't grow in the knowledge of Christ. We have to grow in our knowledge of who God is. And when we know who God is and we understand what he likes and what he doesn't like, we're able to make changes within our own lives. This is why I say in order for growth to happen, we have to change. We have to change our philosophies. For some of us, we got to change our attitudes. Say amen or oh my. For some of us, we have to change our demeanor. Some of you always look mad. Come on now. I'm like, it's funny because I'll ask people that, you know, that they're hey, how's it going? Man, it's going good. Well, tell that to your face. Come on now. I really believe that in order for us to accomplish the task that God has for us individually, we have to commit our lives towards growth. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you understand that, listen, it's so much easier to give somebody else hope and explain to them transformation. Because when you know God naturally, you begin to change. Your mind will be transformed. Why? Because truth has a way of cutting through everything that is false. For some of us, we have to take on new challenges because we've plateaued or we're stagnant. We've grown comfortable to how life is, and we've settled for our situation. Listen, God desires to take us from glory to glory. He desires to use us greatly. But understand this. There's a few things I want to give you about growth. You have to understand this. Number one, growth is a choice. Growth is a choice. And one of the misconceptions about growth is people believe that growth just happens over time. You know that you can come to church for 15 years and never change. You can come to church for 5 years, 6 months, be consistent, and still stay the same. See, most people walk through life and they have this hope that if I keep on keeping on, something's going to eventually change. That's a lie. Most people just bought into just keep on keeping on. But you have to understand something. If you're doing the same thing over and over and you expect a different result, you're going to drive yourself crazy. For some of us, we have to take honest evaluations of where we're at and ask the question, am I satisfied with where I've come? Am I satisfied with life as it is? Because God wants to give you life and life more abundant, but we now have to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and it takes commitment to keep growing. Why? Because it's not easy when we're confronted with our issues. It's not easy when we're confronted with the fact that we have bad character, or we have constant judgment, or we're unwilling to forgive. See, that old mindset of, if I just keep on keeping on, it's the reason why some people stay the same and never accomplish their dreams. See, there are two types of growth. There's accidental growth, and then there's intentional growth. Let me give you an example of accidental growth. Accidental growth, they wait for growth to come. Intentional growth takes complete responsibility for growth. Accidental growth depends on good luck. Intentional growth relies on hard work. Accidental growth plans to start tomorrow. Intentional growth insists on starting today. Accidental growth quits early. Intentional growth perseveres long and hard. Accidental growth falls into bad habits. Intentional growth strives to create good habits. Accidental growth talks big, but intentional growth backs up what they say they're going to do. And as Christians, we need to be intentional about our growth. We can't leave anything to chance. We can't hope that the person in our family is going to help take us to the next level. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Come on now. Isn't it beautiful, those of you who are parents, isn't it beautiful to watch our children grow? Right? They when they first start growing up, they have, you know, when you're a kid, you can get away with things. Right? Like a kid when you know, this is a horrible example, but I'm gonna use it anyways. You know, when a child's a baby and they have a bad accident with their diapers, you know, a blowout in the car. Come on, parents, just wave at me, right? You know, you kind of get upset, but then it's kind of like funny, right? Or you can have a child walking around, and I think every parent's experienced this, where, you know, the child's playing and they reach their hand in their diaper and they come out and they have poop all over their hands. And it's kind of funny. Oh my God, look at this. Come here, let me take a picture. Let me take a picture. And it's kind of cute. See, they can get away with that when they're babies. But if they're 15, 16 years old, they're still reaching down and pulling out. Come on, somebody. It's not cute anymore. Right, when they throw their little fit, it's kind of cute when they're little. But when they're old and they're still throwing the same fit, it's not cute anymore. And in the same way, spiritually, listen to me. At the beginning, when we walk into church and there's certain things that are like, oh, they're learning. It's, you know, it's kind of cute. But over time, those things aren't cute anymore. At some point, we have to do away with childish things and we have to implement change in our lives. I'm convinced because of the lack of growth, because of our unwillingness to deal with certain things, we can't experience or do the things God desires for us to do. We got to come to a place where we do away with childish things. When I became a man, the Bible says, I gave up childish ways. Are you with me? The second thing you have to understand about growth, growth will cost you something. Growth will cost you something. I was reading a book and the author wrote this. What will it take for you to go to the next level? Vision? Yes. Hard work? Of course. Personal growth? Absolutely. But how about letting go some of the things that you love and value most? Yes. And believe it or not, this is the thing that often holds people back, even those who have achieved some level of success. That's some heavy stuff. In other words, in order for you to grow up, you got to give up some things. There are some things, if you're going to go to the next level, cannot come with you. If you desire to do great things for God, or if you feel that God's called you to lead, guess what? Attitude can't come with you. Come on now. If you desire to do great things for God, judgment has got to go. Come on now. Men's home, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? If you desire to be staff, you better do what you're supposed to do. Don't be going into the pantry when you're not supposed to be going into the pantry. Don't be trying to sneak some. Come on, somebody. Anybody that's been through the home, you know what I'm talking about. I pulled up to the home today. I seen people looking out the window. I looked at my watch. I said, wait a minute, it's supposed to be table study. I pulled up and everyone's at the table. I said, I know you weren't at the table. You were just standing up. What in the world were you just doing? You know what you're... Come on now. What I'm trying to say is this. Growth will cost you something. See, I've learned this years ago, and it's a truth I've implemented in my life, is you have to live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. Listen to me. You have to live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. And I've often used the analogy of an Olympian. See, Olympians don't live normal lives. They live by a different set of standards. They live by a standard that supports their ambition. For example, I was reading an article of a young lady who she's a gymnast, a gold gymnast. I think she's like 15, 16 years old. But she's not like any other 15 or 16-year-old kid. As a matter of fact, she wakes up at 4 o'clock. And she gets up, she has breakfast, and then she trains from 5 to 7. And then at 7 o'clock, she goes home, she gets ready, then she goes to school. She gets off at 2:30. From 3:30 to 4:30, she does homework. But at 6 o'clock, she goes back to the gym, she does her routine for 2 hours, comes back, gets something to eat, and then does some more homework, and then does it all over again. In other words, she desires to be a gold Olympian, so she lives a lifestyle that supports that ambition. What is your ambition? What do you want to accomplish for God? What do you want to do? What do you want to succeed? How do you want to succeed in life? Then you have to live a lifestyle that supports that ambition. In other words, if you say, I want to be a believer, your lifestyle needs to model that of a believer of Jesus Christ. If you're called to preach the gospel, you have to live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. Studying is one thing, but it's more powerful when a man not only studies, but lives the word of God out. What we don't need is good messages. That's not what we need. What we don't need is people to grab the mic and put on a show. What we need is God-fearing men that live out the truth and have conviction in their heart in spite of who's watching. Those are the men that make a difference. Those are the men that help transform and change the atmosphere, their surroundings. Yes, when you believe and walk in conviction, did you know you can walk into a dark room and transform that atmosphere? You really can, because there's this thing called the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, and people may not recognize, man, there's something different about him. Yes, it's the Spirit of God upon my life, and we walk in truth. The Spirit is evident. The truth about growth is this. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it will cost us time, effort, and denying of ourselves. You look at most of the people who succeed in life, you will find that most of them made major sacrifices to get to where they are today. Some of us have advanced in life because of the family members in our life that sacrificed and made changes. See, I found that many people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to pay the price to improve themselves. And as a result, they usually are bound to their present situation. John 3:30 says this, he must increase and I must decrease. What does that say? In other words, more of him and less of me. See, the more that we let go, the more that we let God, the more we will grow. Whatever our desire is, we have to live a lifestyle that supports that ambition. If we are called to preach the gospel, then we have to prioritize study time. If we are called to be a leader, we have to live a lifestyle worthy to lead other people by example, not head knowledge. Are you with me? And number three, the third thing we have to understand about growth is this. Growth is most evident through change. Growth is most evident through change. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the New Living Translation. Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And when we're in a place or season of growth, there are things that change within us. When we're pursuing God, naturally, the things we used to want to do, we no longer want to do. Wave at me if you've experienced that, right? My pastor would always say things like, God will change your want-tos. You used to want to go do this, you don't want to do that anymore. Because God has a way of changing our want-tos. Now we have to understand that there are a number of things that we should want to change. Our attitude, our perspective, our commitments, humility, pride, and even our speech, the way that we talk. Come on now. But when we're pursuing God, change should be evident. Now look, I say it often, we're real people with real problems doing the best we can to follow God. What am I saying? In other words, we go through things. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but what I am saying is this, there needs to be progression. As long as you are progressing. But listen to me, you have to follow the voice of God. You have to follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because some of you, God speaks to you and you know you're supposed to be doing something, but because you can get away with barely getting by, your life is mediocre. That's some heavy truth. Say amen or oh my. Now, when I came to God, I made a commitment. I wanted it all. I'm not in this to half-step. And some of you, you're at a place where you're like, you kind of want to jump in, but there are certain things you're afraid to let go of. Listen, I challenge you, let go and let God. And I guarantee you that whatever you let go of, God will give you double for your trouble. God will bless your life. It doesn't matter what it is. God has a way of giving you back more. See, I believe it's God's desire that we continue changing. Change speaks that we really believe the truth. Come on now. Hear me now. Change means we really believe the truth. Because there are some people that are like, God, I love you, but I can't give that up yet. And there's scripture that you have read that completely goes against what we do. But change says, I really believe the word. I really believe the truth. See, if we're not changing, we're not really growing. And God has a way of moving us into specific situations to ensure that we keep growing. This is why sometimes we go through trials, right? I was telling somebody the other day, don't hold on to something so strong that God has to break your hand to get it. There are some people, they're like holding on to things for dear life. They're like, I don't want to let go of this. And God says, oh, you're going to let go of it one way or another. One way or another, you're going to let go. I'm going to break your hand to get it. We serve a very jealous God. Be careful not to put anything before Him. Be very careful that nothing rises or exalts itself above the love of God in your life. God has a way of creating circumstances, whether it be that we go through storms or trials in life, in order to get our attention. But one way or another, we will grow. And we see this throughout all the Word of God with different biblical leaders. Even in Deuteronomy 1, 6, and 7, the Bible says this: "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, 'You have dealt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountain of the Amorites.'" See, God will always bring challenges. And what would happen there, God had spoken to Moses and basically told him, "You have been here long enough. It is now time to set forth on your journey." And there are some of you, the message is simple. You have been at this place long enough. It's time to set forth on your journey. It's time to let the weights go. It's time to cut away every sin and every weight that entangles us. And it's time to run the race. It's time to go after what God has for you and not settle for our circumstances. For some of us, it's simply saying yes to the challenge. Yes to the challenge. We've been talking about the harvest and how the fields are ready. All you have to do is look around. Next time you go to the grocery store, people are hurting. People are ready, man. Talk to your neighbor. You might find out what they're going through. Hear me now. It's going to cost us something. It might cost you, you overcoming your shyness, stepping out of yourself or your complexes. But know this. God can use your life. You're special to God. You were created with greatness inside of you, but growth has to be a part of your DNA. And lastly, number four, when it comes to growth, listen to me. Consistency will keep you growing. Consistency will keep you growing. See, walking this walk with God, it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. Motivation gets you going, but discipline will keep you growing. It's the little things that we do over time on a consistent basis that will produce change and growth within our life. Keep doing the little things. Reading your Bible every day. Praying every morning. It doesn't matter how long you pray at the beginning. Listen, because the goal of prayer is this: I pray because I know I have to. I pray because I want to know Him. I simply pray because I love Him. And then it's, "God, I just pray because I want to be in Your presence." And some of us, we got to get beyond the basics of Christianity, and it's time to pursue God, not just on Sunday and not just on Wednesday, but I'm talking about every day. I don't care if you do it in the morning or if you do it at night, but some way, somehow, develop a consistent relationship with God where you're pursuing His Word, you're pursuing Him in prayer, you're pursuing the will of God upon your life. It's the little things that will keep you growing. Sometimes we think we have to make these major changes. It's letting one thing go, little by little. And I end with this. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this: "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith." Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Now that's heavy. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Where are you in your faith? Where are you in your belief? Has our faith progressed or has it regressed? Have we been idle? Have we come to a place of where we know about God but no longer practice the truths of His Word? Or have we come to a place that maybe, just maybe, we've grown so comfortable that we no longer practice relationship, but we now practice religion? This is an honest evaluation. And trust me, I'm not just preaching this to you. I have to check myself. With pastoring and all the things that we do, sometimes I have to slow down. Today, can I confess some things? I was going through it today, boy. Had some people talking crazy on the road. Somebody done flipped me off for no reason. Come on now. Had to go to Seattle. Came stuck in traffic for 2 hours. Then went to the Sprint store. I was supposed to pick up two phones, replacement phones. I had gone there last week, waited for 45 minutes. They're like, it's going to take another half hour. So I just left. I didn't have time. So I came back today. I go to the guy. I ask him, hi. He said, what's your name? My name is Eric. I seen there was one person. It said one person on there. So I said, naturally, I should have been number two. So I'm sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, I see name two, three, and four come on. And I go, hey, brother, I was here and I thought I was going to be. How come my name's not on there? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay. So I wait for 45 minutes. I wait for 45 minutes. And finally he goes, oh man, sorry, man. And then I go and we start trying to do the swap of the phone. And he goes, so where's the other phone? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're supposed to bring the other phone. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, oh, I can't give you this phone today. Upset. Now I'm just angry. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Some of you. And all of a sudden I felt impatience. I felt irritation. I felt like I wanted to snap. Come on, just wave at me if you've ever been there. Just wave at me. Is this okay? Can I be honest with you? Right? I even went, I said, you know what, man? I almost got 100%, but I came back. I said, you know what, bro? I bet you if I wanted to buy a phone, you would have helped me. But all of a sudden, I just felt anxiety. I felt angry. And I went home. And I just walked to my room and I said, man, what is wrong with me? And I got on my knees. And I just put on worship music and I just started crying to God. And I realized there are things inside my life that still need change. I realized there was impatience that wanted to rise above the glory of God. I realized there was some sort of undealt with anger inside of me. I realized that I still have pride that wants to creep up. And the reason I know that is because I felt my self-worth was so great. I could have told that man off and I would have been right. But according to the scriptures, the Bible says to be humble. The Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit, hear me now, are patience, love, peace, kindness, long-suffering. What kind of Christian would I have been had I displayed something different? And then he goes and say, hey, are you the pastor of this church? That's crazy. Somebody just gave me the, I don't want to go there no more. Why am I telling you this? We're not exempt, guys. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. You have to be honest enough with yourself to examine where you stand in the faith. Understand God's mercies are new every day. The more we set out to seek Him, the more we will find Him. The more we will grow. But we got to seek Him with all our heart. The days of doing things half fast or barely getting it in, those days are long and gone. But if we want to do great things for God, it's going to take a commitment to growing, changing, willing to be obedient to God. Because God's far more concerned with the condition of your heart than the work of your hands. Hear me now. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith.